The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to a November edition of Chicago Bears Coaches Show here from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest, featuring the head coach, John Fox. Just after 7 o'clock, we'll be joined by offensive line coach Dave Magazoo. What a great day today it was out there. You would have loved today to have a little practice. 70 degrees, a little breeze, Big John.
I was checking the weather, honestly, and it said 70. I looked out my window and went, wow, somebody's enjoying this.
Yeah.
I never made it outside today.
I'm with you. We're in the dungeon here at Hallis Hall. No, it's not that way at all, but it was a great day. It's supposed to be great all week, you know, 70s in November in this town. Are you kidding me? Some of these guys, you know, you talk to them, and I know you talk to all of them, but, you know, the first thing they bring up to me when I introduce myself, where are you from? Hey, what's it really like here in December and November? I go, hey, that hawk, it comes storming off that lake. It's not pretty. You know, and the guys from the south, they get all wigged out. But this week, they're going to get a treat.
No doubt. It'll get us ready for San Diego.
Yes. And your old stomping grounds once upon a time. So we'll talk about that tonight as well. All right. 2-5 doesn't feel great. No doubt about it. But in the bigger picture, the team is competing. They're in it in every phase in the fourth quarter of these games. You've been positioned to win games and just haven't closed them out these last couple games. Everybody knows it comes down to the fourth quarter and a play here, a play there, and this so happened to be the case yesterday against the Vikings.
Yeah, I think it rips your gut out. You know, we've had two division games back-to-back, you know, at Detroit and here at home versus the Vikings, and, you know, we had our opportunities. And I think, you know, hopefully that we'll learn how to finish better and make those plays when they're needed. And we've got to coach it better and execute it better to do that. And so that's our main duty, and that's what we're off to do.
Thing is, those may sound like coach speak or cliches, but it is the reality.
No doubt. I mean, we've just got to play better, you know, and it's our job as coaches and their job as players. And, you know, our fans deserve that. You know, trust me, we're working long hours to get that done.
I just before we got down here, somebody on Twitter put out a quote from Vince Lombardi, apparently said 50 years ago today that, hey, relax, one win doesn't mean a whole lot, nor does one loss. Now, and you stack them up, they do, but, you know, the great Hall of Fame coach Vince Lombardi said it must be good for everybody. Hey, it's hard to win one game. Hard to win one snap in the NFL.
No doubt. You know, I mean, you turn on tape every week, you know, and all these games are competitive. There's not many blowouts. Occasionally you'll see one, but, you know, we'll just keep grinding. Our guys understand that how close we are. They sit and look at the tape. They'll come in tomorrow and, you know, they'll view every play. You know, every play is graded. Every play is evaluated, and they'll get a chance to see it, and we'll do whatever necessary is to get better.
Let's focus on defense in this segment, if you will. And when they do turn on the tape, or when you guys turn on the tape for them tomorrow, the first 49 snaps of the Minnesota Vikings offensively, they did not have one play, one big play, whatever. I mean, most of us look at it as 20-plus yard plays. I don't know what coaches do in this organization, but the final eight plays, though, they had three. All of them passes.
Yeah, I think the last 2 weeks, you know, unique about the last four games is we won two close ones, you know, finishing and scoring at the end to win. You know, these last couple, we've had the lead and given up the lead at the end, and one went into overtime and we lost by three, and then, you know, this one ended in regulation. So it's just a matter of making plays when you need to. You know, hats off to the Vikings. They did, and we have to learn to close those out.
He had nine players, after looking at the coach's review of the statistics today and the tackle adjustments, with at least three tackles. Now, much of that is due in part to the fact you got to gang tackle Adrian Peterson, but some guys got some solo tackles on him, which was impressive. Adrian Amos coming downhill with a full head of steam, knocked him down a couple times. Bryce Callahan, who suffered a concussion, he's in the concussion protocol this week. Was that a good stat to have that many guys with at least three tackles?
Yeah, it is, especially when you're playing a back like Adrian. And, you know, he's had a real explosive play, touchdown, long touchdown run in every game this season. And, you know, that's a positive in the game is we didn't give him that explosive run. And he's a very explosive player and a very talented player. I think he's proved that. You know, the fact that we held them to one touchdown, you know, I think is something positive. So there's, you know, there were some positive things in the game, not all negative.
You know, with that punt return touchdown, and again, the timing of it is one thing. It was in the early part of the game where it's not going to ruin the day. However, does it alter how aggressive you can be on both sides of the ball otherwise? I mean, now you're digging it. You dug yourself a little hole, and you can't be tethered to the idea that one score is going to ruin you. That can't be the case, but in the league's history, special teams touchdowns kill you more often than not.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like any phase of the game. You know, whether it's offense, defense, or the kicking game, you have to execute. And, you know, people point at different plays, you know, like Jeremy Langford, he dropped the ball. Well, Jeremy Langford did a lot of good things. You know, we missed a field goal. I mean, you can kind of program in anything, the punt return you mentioned. You know, we got an interception that set us up to go into the halftime tied. You know, our offense was able, that was our first touchdown drive. So, you know, there's ebbs and flows in games. You just have to find ways to make the necessary plays in key moments.
But does it alter your thinking at all when
not
on special
really.
Teams touchdowns?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a one score game. We're down 10-3 or 7-3, and then it went to 10-3 at one point.
That Kyle Fuller interception at that point, the way things were unfolding, that was the game. That was the play that you circled for the game right there, right?
Yeah.
Then and there for that point. And what you built off to it and took the lead, because that got you guys going. That got you guys going.
Yeah, those things, you know, that was a positive momentum switch. And, you know, at that point in the game, it was a big play.
All right, the last big throw down the field by Bridgewater, Antrell Roll. Could he have intercepted that ball, in your opinion, after you looked at it?
Well, I think, you know, really at the end of the day, I mean, it's a jump ball. You know, it's kind of like a rebound. And so, you know, I think... You know, had he felt the guy a little bit better and felt him coming, I think, you know, you do everything you can to make sure nobody ends up with that ball, not necessarily going for the pick. But, you know, seeing that guy, you make sure nobody comes down with it.
Injury news today. You gave it earlier today. So it sounds like it's not great, but it's good.
Yeah.
Matt Forte and Eddie Royal.
I mean, we've had a lot of injuries, and knock on wood, we haven't had a lot of season-ending ones. So, you know, I think... That's where we are. You never know how these things are going to develop. I hate, you know, try to even say that they're not season ending, but, you know, there's not anything initial prognosis, you know, like a torn ACL that's going to require surgery immediately, those types of things.
And it could be a crazy day in the National Football League. It's rare, but already a deal today, trading deadlines tomorrow. I'm certain, you know, and we talked to general manager Ryan Pace. You know, you'll listen.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was asked a question today at our press conference, you know, about trades, you know, in so many other sports. And ours is unique because there is salary cap, and there's always issues with that, you know, what the contractually guys' positions are in. You know, so you don't see as much of it in the National Football League.
To me, it's hard to get the right value. I mean, you're giving a Pro Bowl player away like today, in advanced years of his career. In the Denver situation, they acquire Vernon Davis, but you're exchanging 6th and 7th round picks. It just seems odd. That's the uniqueness of this sport.
Well, I think, you know, the fact that he's in the last year of his contract, and, you know, I don't know what he'll be looking for particularly, but, you know, it works for both people in most cases.
That's John Fox. We'll continue with the conversation here from Hallisaw.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Snap is back. Late pressure coming on a blitz. They throw into the end zone. Left corner up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey makes the catch. Deep left corner of the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown Bears. On Xavier Rhodes backing up as he snagged it out of the air. He put those big mitts up there. Squeezed that ball. Falling backwards, left corner of the end zone, and Cutler threw a beauty to him.
Yeah, a lot in detail there. The player of the game brought to you by Xfinity. It is Jay Cutler and his throw to Alshon Jeffrey. That touchdown pass, John, I don't know if you know this or not, but he tied the famous Sid Luckman for the most touchdown passes in Chicago Bears history with that throw.
I did hear that. And, you know, Jay's having a good year for us, even though our record doesn't indicate it. And that was a great throw and great catch by Alshon.
As he's known for. That's what he's known for. And that description, that I think it took 27 seconds to describe what is a throw into the left corner of the end zone, but you wouldn't do it justice if you didn't get into the detail of the leap, the squeeze, falling backwards, backing up as he's catching that football, but also the throw has to be, it is a postage stamp. That's a postage stamp, and that's what these two know how to do. They're great at it, right? And you can't put there's not enough value placed on that and the importance of that connection between these two guys. 18 catches last two games, bunch of yards, couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, I think it's a good matchup. Obviously, Alshon's got, deceptive deep speed. He's a big target. He's got great catching radius as far as long arms and big hands. And, these last two games, he's been a big part of our offense.
I don't know that we're talking about Jay enough right now and what he's doing. These last four games, fourth quarter plays being made by your quarterback, that's huge. That's what they're paid to do. And he's making them right now. He's doing it.
He's been tremendous. I mean, he's done a great job avoiding the rush. This team, hit Matthew Stafford a week ago 13 times and a bunch of sacks. And, I think our offensive staff did a good job having a good plan to combat some of that. We didn't see as much of it for that reason. And, and Jay obviously operates the whole thing. He has to get guys lined up. He has to make checks. And he's done a tremendous job, I think.
They blitzed, but they didn't blitz a ton, did they?
No, because I think, they realized we had a pretty good answer. And, I think our offensive staff did a great job with the game plan and, pretty close to a pretty good execution of it.
Yeah, we'll get into the offensive line in great detail tonight with Dave Magazu at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. But here you go, the shuffled again. But Matt Slauson, to have a guy that can do that, step in there and handle every snap was good, right?
Yeah, he's a consummate pro. I mean, he's going to do whatever's necessary for the team. And, he's shifted around from guard to center, back to guard, back to center. It was kind of a different week even last week in the preparation on really what position he was going to be at. So, until Hronis gets healthy, not sure when that's going to be. But, Matt's done a tremendous job.
And the thinking behind moving Dukas from right to left, any particular reason? Is it better to accommodate Patrick Omame on the right side? Is he more comfortable there?
Yeah, I think all in all, we just felt like you try to get your best five out there and get them in positions they're familiar and capable of. And, we felt that was our best combination.
Let's also talk about the line of scrimmage battle, because Minnesota's front is very well respected. So those guys, in addition to protecting, they also cleared pretty good running lanes. You got plenty of carries yesterday. And what Jeremy Langford did behind that line. You got a lot of new moving parts again with this. It's most plays he's run so far this season.
Yeah, I think, he's been ready. He's, it's not too big for him for a rookie. He's very mature football-wise. And, I think, everybody wants to talk about, the last play. And he had a lot of good plays, and he's a real good young football player that we're excited to have.
Teammates came to his defense, I guess, and that's not even the right word to use. They were there for him. What would you also say to him?
Well, the same thing. That one play doesn't lose a game. And so... I know he was pretty down on himself, but he's also a mature guy. You got to turn the page and move on, and he will.
In terms of what you guys did to Bridgewater, he didn't do a bunch for the greater part of the game defensively. You guys had him really inaccurate for the most part. He was 10 of 20 for 73 yards first three quarters of the game. They were 2 of 7 on third down. You hit him a couple times, but you pressured him six times. Jenkins and Mitch Unrain also. So everything was going really well against you. Were you happy with the way you guys were playing him defensively? And, again, we referred to it earlier, not letting Adrian go up on some big gallop.
Yeah, I think, we had a couple things happen to us injury-wise that kind of affected it a little bit. But, all in all, anytime you hold, an offense in this league to one touchdown, I think it's a decent day at the office. Unfortunately, it rips your heart out when you don't win the game. And, we were competitive. Our guys fought, and... at the end, he made plays when he needed to, so it doesn't leave a good taste in your mouth, and hopefully we learn from it and move on.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Snap to Cutler to throw. Cutler's going to keep it at the five. Cutler cuts down the goal line and bangs it for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears! Jay Cutler took it upon himself to get it done, and the Bears are back in front here in the fourth quarter at Soldier Field with under five to go.
Yeah, everybody was jacked up, Big John. Very exciting play. The Play of the Week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. It felt very good right there. A tough run. I'm kind of getting a little weary, though, of the criticism of Jay taking on linebackers and safeties with his shoulder on plays like that. He's a physical guy. He is a physical guy, and he can initiate contact. He's a big quarterback.
Yeah, he made a similar play in the preseason against Cincinnati.
He got ripped for it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you do get nervous. You know, I mean, I saw him. He got hit pretty good. But, you know, the guy felt the protection, you know, or their rush kind of go away from him. Our line did a good job of sliding. That opened it up. And, you know, he scrambled out looking to throw. And then, you know, they fell off in coverage. And, you know, he lowered his head and got in for the touchdown. I thought it was a courageous, good play. And earlier in that drive, you know, it was a real good play by him and Alshon on fourth and one to make that connection. We did throw the ball on fourth and one, and, you know, that was a big play by both of those guys as well.
Gosh, it doesn't take much to make a defense start to wig out a little bit when a quarterback starts doing that. And twice on one drive, heck, it happened with Bridgewater on his 19-yard scramble. It changes everything.
Yeah, it helps to have a guy that does have some escapability and the ability to move the chains.
All right, so with Forte, he's only missed 5 games in 8 years. So, I mean, he's probably as fit a back as you're going to find out there. So for whatever is ailing him with the knee, even if he does miss a little bit, you think that Jeremy has picked up enough. And Anton Smith is here. You got Kadeem Carey. I don't know. You guys may get somebody else into the mix. Do you feel okay at the running back position?
We do. You know, I think, you know, losing Jacquez Rogers obviously hurts a little bit because we really liked him. And, you know, we wish him the best, you know, through his rehab with the broken arm. And, you know, the other guys, you know, last time I saw Kadeem Carey play was against Cleveland. And he went into beast mode, did a great job. And, you know, he's a very, very physical back. You know, Antone's, we're getting to know a little bit. He's getting to know the offense better now. And so, you know, we'll lean on those three guys.
All right, so you're going to take on a Charger team that is struggling right now, but Phillip Rivers is there. Your familiarity with him, obviously you know him very, very well from another AFC West game for you. What are they doing right now? What's their story?
Well, they're leading the league in offense. They're number one. So they're
throwing it a ton.
They are throwing.
They're trying to balance it out though. Yesterday against Baltimore, but they're throwing it a ton.
Yeah, and you know, they've been very successful. He's a tremendous quarterback, a great competitor, somebody I have a lot of respect for. You know, and we know them very well. They know us to a degree. And I think it'll be like all NFL games. It should be a lot of fun.
And they had a serious episode yesterday. 12 players leave the game.
Yeah, they. I'm just got done, you know, kind of intro and into them in the film room, and you know, they had, I don't know, like 7 changes on the offensive line, just in that position. And you know, they lost one of their wideouts. One of the tight ends went out. And, I mean,
Keenan Allen, who's, you know, outstanding receiver, has that kidney injury. So that, I don't know how that looks, but. You know, that's why when you go into things, you don't know how the week's going to unfold or who's going to be where and why. But, you know, that's you don't want anybody to get hurt, but that's a benefit. I mean,
yeah,
no doubt about it.
It's true around the league. You know, I think, you know, it happens to everybody. And, you know, that's why depth and personnel are so important.
You know, when you play a physical team like the Ravens are or the Steelers or that they're known for, and, you know, having not watched all their games, I don't know if that's still the case this year. But do you want that same thing to be the case for the Bears moving forward, that when you get through with a team, win or lose, they're going to know you played them. And the next week, you know, I always look at how teams play the next week after a team plays them.
There's no doubt that you can make that observation. But, yeah, you want to be known as a physical team, you know, whether it's running the ball, stopping a run, you know, just hits on tape. They make an impression. I mean, it's basically a resume on what you are as a player and what you are as a unit, you know, around the league. So
what do you see on your team when you see that now in that aspect? Is it getting there?
I think, you know, you talk to coaches before the game. You talk to coaches after the game. You know, I think, you know, they see improvement. And, you know, if you look at just our division games, and we were 8 points. Again, we lost all 3 of them. But, you know, overtime game with Detroit, you know, in Detroit, and then, you know, very close contest here at home versus the Vikings. So we're getting there, and we will get there. I can't give you a time frame yet.
San Diego's defense, they've had some issues there too. What do you see on defense quickly?
Well, they're very multiple.
3-4, right?
Yeah, they're multiple. You know, they'll bring a lot of pressure. You know, they've got talent there. They've got a lot of high picks invested in that side of the ball. And, you know, for whatever reason, they just haven't been able to finish either. You know, I think they've been involved in a lot of close games and been on the wrong side of it.
And this is where you went to college, San Diego State. So I'm sure you'll have some people that you know out there. But yeah, did you always like playing there? Yeah, going back there, San Diego.
Yeah,
spent some time there, obviously as a kid too.
Yeah, it's a very old stadium. I actually watched Johnny Unitas play for the Chargers there, actually in the 70s. So a lot of great memories, a lot of victories there, and it's always fun to go back.
All right, John. Well, good luck. We'll talk to you throughout the course of the week. Bears and Chargers on Monday night in San Diego. Coming up next, Dave Magazoo, the Bears offensive line coach, coming up.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring offensive line coach Dave Magazoo. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Angle left, snap pulled down by O'Donnell. Low kick, Robbie Gould from 55 yards. He is good from 55. Good as gold.
And Robbie Gould continued his excellence from beyond 50 yards with that 55-yarder yesterday, and the Bears lost to the Minnesota Vikings. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Pleased to be joined by Dave Magazoo. I smile when I see you because you're a very entertaining young man, but you've been around a while. So when you get the grizzled veteran coaches, it's always a lot more fun to talk, walk down memory lane, talk a little history of where you came from and where you're at and just what you've experienced. So you've always had a good story to tell. And being in the league for a long time, being in coaching, you got plenty of story. You can write a lot of books if you wanted to.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate you calling me a young man. that hasn't happened in a while, so I'm excited to do this.
Well, I mean, they can make you gray in a hurry, though, right?
Well, you notice I have no hair, and the little hair that I have, most of it's white.
It's still a lot of fun, though, coaching up these young guys, isn't it?
Well, I think we have a good group of guys, and I think we have a good group of veterans that are true pros, that go out of their way to help the young guys out. So it's a positive group. It's a group of guys that work well together and help one another. And it's been fun. That part of it's been fun.
And you got to be creative too. I mean, you got to check and see who can do what, where, and why every week because you don't know. And I know the Vikings coming into our game, their offensive line had taken every snap together at the same five spots. Yesterday, they had T.J. Clemmings leave the game briefly, but he came back. But that's rare in the NFL right now. Every story I'm reading about all these different combinations of offensive linemen, because this is why you said early when you first got here, you got to try guys at everywhere because you just don't know.
Well, you don't, and it's kind of, call it a hobby of mine. Once you figure out, you know, what you have, I'll sit there and, you know, especially through the summer and sit there and put together a ton of different lineups. What about this? What about that? And when I first got here, you know, we came in, we're evaluating the players that were here. And from watching Leno on tape, it just kind of dawned on me. I go, here's a guy that has enough ability to maybe go in and play center. And I haven't even met this guy. I pick up the phone, I call him, introduce myself, and we talk a little bit. And I ask him, ever play center? And the dead silence on the other end of the phone, he goes, no, I haven't. And I says, hey, why don't you start working on it? And he was working out at Boise with a guy that I coached in the past and who just happened to be a center. And they kind of got together. And later on, before he got back here, I said, send me some clips that you snap, and he sends me some video, and it was all positive. And so it was something we messed around with early. And I think the more a guy can do in situations like we're in now, the better off you're going to be in the long run.
Yeah, a lot of guys may not love the concept because guys think, okay, I came in as a tackle. I want to play tackle. I come in as a guard. I'm going to be a guard. How do you earn their trust that, hey, I'm looking at you, I see qualities in you that could help us in the other areas, so how do you help them get open-minded on it?
Well, I don't think you do it with a guy like, say, Bushrod. I mean, he's a left tackle. That's what he plays, and we've messed around with some things, and we kind of laugh about it a little bit. But the one thing it does, especially if you're a young offensive lineman, hey, they'll do anything. They want to make the team. They want to get on the field. And I think it puts guys out of their comfort zone. You know, you don't want to play with blinders on. It gives them an opportunity. It's funny listening to Kyle talk now. God, I always thought playing tackle was easy and thought guard was hard. And he goes, I see. You get the big picture.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's a positive because guys are out of their comfort zone. Is it the perfect world, the perfect storm? No. I mean, I'd love to have, five guys make it through the season and have some quality depth. But that's kind of a fantasy in the NFL right now.
As Dave Magazoo, the Bears offensive line coach, will continue our conversation. But first, the Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lawrence Creedon, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears.
The Bears Coaches Show with offensive line coach Dave Magazoo and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Takes the snap, big pressure by McPhee and Acho, sliding, now throwing. Over the middle, snagged out of the air by Fuller on the interception at the 40. Running right to the 35. Slips and goes down. Bears will have it inside the 35-yard line of the Minnesota. Kyle Fuller takes it away. And a 15-yard return sets the Bears up with a minute one to go in the first half, trailing 10-3.
And they did tie it up after that interception, the takeaway, the first by the Bears secondary here in 2015. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak and offensive line coach Dave Magazoo with you. Matt Slauson at center, when you reviewed the tape, didn't appear to be any weird snaps, nothing weird like that, but you're talking about shotgun, short shotgun, wildcat. I mean, you threw a bunch on there to Adam Gase dialed up for you. He handled it great.
No, well, Matt's a pro. I mean, and I think, at least in my terminology, when I give that guy a label, hey, he's a true pro, I mean, they do everything in their power to do things right. You know, they prepare correctly. They take care of their bodies. They study. They go out and they play and they perform to the best of their ability. And he's a pro. I mean, he's been around the block a couple times and he executes and it's important to him. And I think that's half the battle is to make sure that guys, that it's important to them to go out and put a good product out on the field, because that is their resume, and that shows you their ability and how important it is to them.
And he takes it a step further. He wants to be a leader, too.
He does a great job. I think he really works hard with the young kids, and he spends a lot of time with Duck and the other guards. And, we sit down and we talk about a couple things. From a game plan standpoint, because I want our group to feel comfortable, and we have to make a lot of adjustments. But when we're talking about adjustments, we don't want it to be to the point where it's like, okay, this is getting a little hard now. There has to be a flow to it. There has to be a rhyme or reason. And sometimes when I get off the page and, coach, you're going a little too far with this one. Don't think we can handle that? Nah, it's a little much.
The player tells you that.
Yeah, so we'll make adjustments where everybody in the room feels comfortable and gives us the ability to handle a lot of different things.
The idea of moving Dukas for this game to the left versus the right where he's been, any particular reason, or is it more comfortable for the man who stepped in there to help out on the right side yesterday?
Well, we kind of fell into it. You know, we gave Matt the week off. His body was a little beat up, and he needed some time off, and he had some nagging injuries. So we gave him some time off, and wanted to give Pat some work on the right side because he spent a lot of time on the left. And we had the bye week, and then all of a sudden, you know, Duck goes down, and it's like, okay, and
just Matt, so everybody knows who Duck is, Haronis Grassou. It's easier to say for you.
Yeah, it's easier to yell at Duck out on the field than
Oregon Duck.
Yeah,
the Oregon Duck. Even though you have two of them on the roster with Kyle.
But it's not really funny. But we're an individual, and all of a sudden I see Duck's talking to the trainer, and we're going to team, and I'm looking at him. They're telling me he's out. So we're jogging down to the team period, and I told Matt, I go, slide in the center and put Val over at the left guard. And he started laughing. I go, no, I'm serious. I go, he's done. So, you know, we just adjusted on the fly. And, you know, the biggest thing for those guards or a tackle or somebody when they move in the center, their hands are taped up so bad. I mean, because of fingers and thumbs and all the things they got wrong. I says, Matt, cut all that stuff off. You got to go snap the ball. So he slid in and he did. He took control right from day one, and he's done an outstanding job.
What's your room like, and how do you like the room to be?
Well, I think I don't want it to be. I don't want to stand up and lecture. I like input. I like us to communicate. I ask a lot of questions. We have to install. We have to, which is always pretty demanding because you have to try to cover so much in a small amount of time. But I do not like to just lecture. I know what I know. I think it's more important that we communicate as a group when we're watching tape. Hey, look at this. And I give those guys homework assignments and things that they have to do to make them prepare for the game. We have some characters in the room. I don't want it to be drudgery to go into the meeting room. I want it to be a place where you go in. Hey, sometimes we might spend the first 5 minutes talking about, you know, what happened last night, who did what, and what's going on out in the world, and we have enough characters that know what's going on.
And you're a character yourself, right?
Well, you know, like my wife says to me, she goes, you have no idea what's going on in the world. You live under a rock. And there's some truth to that. We might be watching a show, and I might ask her, who's that? And she goes, seriously, you don't know who that is, and I don't. You know, this time of year, you kind of get, as a coach, you get tunnel vision, and what are you thinking about? Well, I was thinking about, you know, maybe I can move this guy. Like she doesn't want to know. But those are the things you think about.
It's a career for grinders. There's no doubt about it.
It is.
Career for grinders.
You have to love what you're doing. And, you know, I love working with the offensive line. I mean, they're usually a good group of guys. And we have a great room, really good work ethic. And they want to win. And they want to do things the right way. And so that makes it fun.
That's Dave Magazoo. One more segment with him coming up.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
All right, our final moments with offensive line coach Dave Magazoo. We'll hear from head coach John Fox in just a moment from earlier in the program and spend game day with the Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. You've known John Fox a very long time. What's the most interesting story you can tell us in a very short period of time that really defines who he is?
On air?
Yeah, if you can.
No, I've been very fortunate. My entire career has been spent with John. I owe him a lot. He gave me my start in the NFL. We have a different kind of relationship because sometimes we're friends and sometimes we're not. And there's times he comes in my office and you can tell we're not friends and he's the head coach and I respect that. And then there's other times I ask him if he's the head coach or are we just two guys talking. But we've gotten along well. And trust me when I tell you, he does not play any favorites because we've been together for a while. Just like Sam Garns has been with him for a long time and Jeff Rogers. And, you know, I don't think it's fair to tell any stories about John other than, you know, he's fair. He motivates people. He gets his points across, sometimes in unique ways. And I think he's a player's coach from the standpoint he'll listen to the players, but he's going to do what he believes is right. And he's the kind of guy you want to work for and play for. Because he'll listen to your opinion, and then he'll make the decision on what he thinks is best for the football team.
Dave, love talking to you. Love talking football. Love when we get to talk more about X's and O's and the details of the game. We're out of time with you right now, but appreciate you coming down.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Dave Magazoo, the Bears offensive line coach. Earlier this evening, Coach Fox on how to finish in these tight games.
Yeah, I think it rips your gut out. You know, we've had two division games back-to-back, you know, at Detroit and here at home versus the Vikings. And, you know, we had our opportunities. And I think, you know, hopefully that we'll learn how to finish better and make those plays when they're needed. And we've got to coach it better and execute it better to do that. And so that's our main duty, and that's what we're off to do.
Thing is, those may sound like coach speak or cliches, but it is the reality.
No doubt. I mean, we've just got to play better, you know, and it's our job as coaches and their job as players. And, you know, our fans deserve that. You know, trust me, we're working long hours to get that done.
I just before we got down here, somebody on Twitter put out a quote from Vince Lombardi, apparently said 50 years ago today that, hey, relax. One win doesn't mean a whole lot, nor does one loss. Now, and you stack them up, they do, but, you know, the great Hall of Fame coach Vince Lombardi said it must be good for everybody. Hey, it's hard to win one game. Hard to win one snap in the NFL.
No doubt. You know, I mean, you turn on tape every week, you know, and all these games are competitive. There's not many blowouts. Occasionally you'll see one, but you know, we'll just keep grinding. Our guys understand that how close we are. They sit and look at the tape. They'll come in tomorrow, and, you know, they'll view every play. You know, every play is graded. Every play is evaluated, and they'll get a chance to see it, and we'll do whatever necessary is to get better.
Let's focus on defense in this segment, if you will. And when they do turn on the tape for – when you guys turn on the tape for them tomorrow, the first 49 snaps of the Minnesota Vikings offensively, they did not have one play, one big play, whatever – I mean, most of us look at it as 20-plus yard plays. I don't know what coaches do in this organization, but the final eight plays, though, they had three, all of them passes.
Yeah, I think the last 2 weeks, you know, unique about the last four games is we won two close ones, you know, finishing and scoring at the end to win. You know, these last couple, we've had the lead and given up the lead at the end, and one went into overtime and we lost by three, and then, you know, this one ended in regulation. So it's just a matter of making plays when you need to. You know, hats off to the Vikings. They did, and we have to learn to close those out.
You had nine players, after looking at the coach's review of the statistics today and the tackle adjustments, with at least three tackles. Now, much of that is due in part to the fact you got to gang tackle Adrian Peterson, but some guys got some solo tackles on him, which was impressive. Adrian Amos coming downhill with a full head of steam, knocked him down a couple of times. Bryce Callahan, who suffered a concussion, he's in a concussion protocol this week. Was that a good stat to have that many guys with at least three tackles?
Yeah, it is, especially when you're playing a back like Adrian. And, you know, he's had a real explosive play, touchdown, long touchdown run in every game this season. And, you know, that's a positive in the game is we didn't give him that explosive run. And he's a very explosive player and a very talented player. I think he's proved that. You know, the fact that we held him to one touchdown, you know, I think is something positive. So there's, you know, there were some positive things in the game, not all negative.
You know, with that punt return touchdown, and again, the timing of it is one thing. It was in the early part of the game where it's not going to ruin the day. However, does it alter how aggressive you can be on both sides of the ball otherwise? I mean, now you're digging, you dug yourself a little hole. And you can't be tethered to the idea that one score is going to ruin you. That can't be the case. But in the league's history, special teams touchdowns kill you more often than not.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like any phase of the game. You know, whether it's offense, defense, or the kicking game, you have to execute. And, you know, you can – people point at different plays, you know, like Jeremy Langford, he dropped the ball. Well, Jeremy Langford did a lot of good things. You know, we missed a field goal. I mean, you can kind of program in anything, the punt return you mentioned. You know, we got an interception that set us up to go into the halftime tied. You know, our offense was able – that was our first touchdown drive. So, you know, there's ebbs and flows in games. You just have to find ways to make the necessary plays in key moments.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. That's going to wrap up tonight's show. For Coach Fox and offensive line coach Dave Magazoo, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to our producer Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Bears are bound for San Diego next week. From tonight, 2-6 Chargers playing host. Pregame starts at 4:30, kickoff at 7:30. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Have a good night, everybody.